We have come to the last day, the last hours of a year. We look forward to a new year. We know something of what has passed in this last year. We do not know what the future holds out for us, but we need confidence in our God. Now, I'll not keep you past the time. If I'm not finished, I'll stop so you can sit very and wait to that time. We are in the day of salvation. It'll soon close. Then we will have the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, when he'll raise the dead saints and change the living ones and take them to heaven to the judgment seat of Christ, the marriage supper of the Lamb. And afterward he shall come in his manifestation. Then perhaps shall start the day of the Lord, the day of Jehovah. That shall continue through all that tribulation period, right to the end of the millennium kingdom. And at the end of the millennium kingdom, that will finish the day of the Lord. Immediately afterwards, we will have the day of God, wherein shall dwell righteousness. All his people shall be there forever and forever. When we come to Revelation 21, we have a new heavens and a new earth, wherein shall dwell righteousness. I will be very concise now. I'll not go into details. But immediately afterwards, we have the bride, we have the tabernacle, we have the heavenly city. And all these three, I suggest, has to do with the church, with the bride of Christ. Perhaps the tabernacle may be wider, but we're not going into details. When we come down to verse 9 of our chapter 21, one say to John, come and I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he showed him a city, a great city, a city that was moving, a city that spoke of 12 times over 8, a city that had foundations, a city that had a wall, a city that had many things of which I'm not going into details, a city that was moving, that was a perfect cube. So therefore all these things referred to the church of our Lord Jesus Christ, his bride in the future. Now I want you to notice just for a few minutes that that city is coming down out of heaven. Its length and breadth and height are all the same. Whoever saw a city moving, that is the church. And in that city, 12 times over 8, 8 is resurrection and 12 is administration. So that church and resurrection shall be linked with our Lord Jesus Christ in the administration in the future. Now I want you to notice just those few things that I have said. But when we come, as many has pointed out, from verse 1 to verse 9 looks at the eternal state. From verse 10 onwards to way down into chapter 22 perhaps looks at the millennium kingdom, but I also think some goes into the eternal state. Now the next thing I want you to notice, when we come to chapter 22, We have the throne of God and of the Lamb and of the pure river of life, clear as crystal, produced by the Spirit. So I suggest that that throne is in the city, and God is there, and the Lamb is there, and the pure river of life by the Holy Spirit is seen coming up. Now, I'm not going into any other parts, only that. What I especially want you to notice is the few things that I have read in chapter 22. That looking forward to that time, it says there will be perfect sinlessness. There will be no more curse. When sin entered the curse upon Adam and Eve and on the ground. And from then on you can see a world, and one of the Psalms speak of a groaning world. Romans chapter 8 says, the whole creation groaneth. What for? Waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. So, dear brethren and sisters, as we look forward to the future. When we enter into that heavenly condition, there'll be no more curse. It'll be perfect sinlessness. We will be conformed to the very image of Christ, inwardly and outwardly. And God, in that time that's in the future, shall reveal through Christ the great purposes and counsels of God. And we will be there. Don't you think, as we come to the end of another year, that we should look forward to the coming of Christ? Look forward to that moment when we will see his face in all that perfect sinlessness in that eternal state. First of all, it says there will be no more curse. Then it says immediately afterwards, the throne of God and the Lamb is in it. Our brother has already mentioned, I didn't know what he was going to read. He has already mentioned the kingdom. So therefore there's a throne of God and the Lamb is in it. There will be perfect rule. You know the so-called Lord's Prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thank God when we get home to that heavenly country, in those new heavens and that new earth, there will be perfect rule, perfect authority. Don't you think, brethren and sisters, as we have already heard, concerning our Lord Jesus Christ to do the will of God, don't you think the highest thing that we could do would be the will of God? To obey is greater than sacrifice, isn't it? May God help us in the dark days in which our lot is cast, that we look forward to that perfect sinless condition, and to that perfect condition when God and the Lamb shall rule. Perfect rule. But not only so, doesn't it say, immediately afterwards, his servants shall serve him. Perfect obedience. Didn't we already hear that our Lord, he obeyed? He says, I was cast upon thee from the womb. Don't you think that we also, as the children of God, we are his servants? We should obey in everything that God would have us do. Obey the truth of the living God. You've already heard about 1 Corinthians, where those Corinthians did not fulfill all the will of God. But you can see that the servants of God here, it says, his servants shall serve him in implicit obedience to the very mind and will of God forever. And that tells us that we'll have a heavenly service in that coming day. May God help us. Now again it says, not only so that his servants shall serve him, but they shall see his face. Perfect communion. Perfect fellowship. You know, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 9 says, we are brought into the fellowship of his Son. 1 John 1 says, again, we are in the fellowship with the Father and the Son and with another. That's the fellowship of life. The blood-bought privilege of every child of God. We'll have perfect communion when we get home to heaven. We will never sin again. We'll so enjoy the presence of God forever in perfect sinlessness. Not only so, perfect rule, perfect service, and perfect communion, looking into the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now again, notice again. It says, they shall see his face. His name shall be in their foreheads. Don't you know that with the Antichrist, he will put a name in their forehead and in their hand. Place of understanding and of work. You know, we have heard so much about those things in these days, of which I'll not mention. You'll likely have heard so much of that. But when we get home to heaven, we'll have perfect understanding and working with God. It'll be perfect consecration forever and ever as we stand in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. And another thing, just as we come near the end of all this, there shall be no night there. It will be perfect blessedness. In Genesis 1, it was all night. God says, let there be light. He divided the light from the darkness. There was light and darkness, day and night. Until now. But when we come to the eternal state, it'll be all darkness in the lake of fire. It'll be all eternal light in God's presence. Blessedness, perfect blessedness forever and ever. And the last thing it says here, they shall reign with him forever and ever. Perfect glory. Don't you think, after all we have heard this evening, and we go forth from this ministry meeting, that our hearts would be lifted up to look forward to the coming of Christ? He that shall come will come and will not tarry. He'll descend with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and the living ones will be changed. And he will shout, and they'll meet him in the air, conformed to his image forever and forever.